Well, good morning again, everybody. Wonderful to have you all here this morning. And amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you a message that I feel is so important. It's been something that's been a bit of a journey for me over the last, I would say, over the last year specifically. For those of you that have been at Oceans for a while, you'll know that we do our e-courses. Once we used to do them every month, now we do them every 3 months, every 4 months. We're actually going to probably adjust that because we really need to do them a little bit more regularly. And, you know, but I've been teaching that course in the e-course two, I've been teaching that for 9 years now. And in fact, you know, that material is something I've been studying for a very long time. It doesn't make me in any way an expert, but I've most certainly been studying the text in Corinthians 14, 12, 13, 14 for many, many years, you know, intensely, because you can imagine you're teaching it all the time, month after month, year after year. You know, you're looking at this text over and over and over. And I remember, I remember in the beginning when I would teach it, I really, you know, was very specific, you know, because I was absolutely after the religious people. You know, I would really go after them. Because the text really proved that, you know, there's some things that the religious need to see. And as I began to study it and teach it more and more, you know, I was beginning to look at it and starting to see things a little differently to what I did initially. You know, and the problem is, and this is how many people in the church have a look at biblical text. They have a look at it from where they come from. So, you know, I come out of a more Pentecostal, charismatic type church. If you didn't know that, hi. So I had a tendency to read the text with that mindset. The same way that, for example, a Methodist or a Baptist would have a tendency to address or approach the text from that mindset. And the truth is, that's wrong. We should never look at the text through our own mindset. And if you're a Bible student, you'll know that we are taught to study the Bible, you know, not that way. We are taught to study the Bible in a framework which is Scripture and not from our own mind. But it's just natural that you have a tendency to think, well, you know, because I'm more this way, this is what God meant. And the truth is that what we think God meant might not always be the case. And the reality is that we are all going on a journey, and our desire is to find truth. Because the reality is that the truth is what sets a person free. So if you want to see the power of God manifest in a person's life, let it be truth that sets him free. Can you say amen? It really is so important that whenever we study Scripture, we really approach it from, you know, God, what are you saying here? Not, Lord, I want this to mean what I want it to mean because it fits my theology or what I believe. Now, I'm not saying that to tell you that my mind has changed with the way I see things, but what has happened is I'm looking at it and I'm saying, God, maybe what I thought wasn't exactly like that. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe I need to look at it from your point of view. And so this morning, as I say, it's not that this is going to be the most powerful message or this is the new greatest revelation I've ever had. No, that's not it at all. But I really do believe that this morning's message is extremely important. And as a church, moving forward, you know, our direction hasn't changed, but I think our focus needs to be more intentional so that we can make sure that we're fulfilling the heavenly mandate that Jesus gave the church. Yes. The mandate that Jesus gave the church was to go into the world and make disciples. That means that, come here, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Please, come. I didn't say please. So, see this guy here? He represents each and every one of you. And I want you to know that he is so important to God. Just the way he is wonderful. You really are wonderful. And you are valuable. And as I say this to him, I want you to imagine that I'm saying it to you. Because that's how God feels about each and every one of you. Jeremy, you don't have to be like me. In fact, please, don't be like me. Okay. Ask Naomi, one's enough. You are unique just the way you are. Go and sit down. Thank you so much. The reason why I did this is because it's so important that we understand that people don't have to fit a certain mold that we create for them with an expectation of that's how God wants us to be. God wants you to be you as He called you to be. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life that is uniquely different to anybody else. He has gifts, purposes, and plans for you that are special and different to anybody else's. And in order for us to understand this, it's very important that when we go and look at an area where Paul addresses two things, he addresses love and he addresses spirituality. Love and spirituality, two things that are so important for the church. We need to be spiritual, but we also need to have love. The two really don't work alone, although the best way is to do it with love. And all spirituality should revolve around that. If it doesn't, something is wrong. So let's take a look this morning as we dive into the text. We're going to spend some time in Corinthians, but before we go there, I want to give you just a little bit of a foundation or an understanding of why we're doing this, what happened before this, so that you can understand it, hopefully, you know, clearly. Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter number 18, verse number 1. I want to put you in the picture. So Paul the apostle, let's read it. Acts 18, 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Corinth is where we get the book of Corinthians. It's the church that was in Corinth in Greece. At the time that Paul went to Corinth, they estimate that there was around a population of 600,000 people. That's a big city. Corinth was a thriving big city, and it was full of Greeks. Must have been awesome. I'm not saying that because I'm half Greek. I'm just, you know, just putting that out there, okay? Everything is Greek. Your name, your couch, your dog, everything comes from Greece, just so you know, okay? So there was this large population, and Paul moves into the city. As he begins to do ministry, if you read from verse 1 to about verse 9, you'll begin to see that it wasn't easy ministry. There was a lot of resistance, especially from the Jews. They didn't like Paul's message. They didn't like what he was doing. So he was actually beginning to feel like maybe I should leave. And so he has an encounter. Watch this. Acts 18, let's go to verse 9. It says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in the city. And he continued there, watch this, a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So we know that Paul was in the city of Corinth for at least a year and a half. What's also interesting is Paul feels that the oppression is so much that he needs to go, and God just wants to remind him, listen, you're not the only one of my servants in the city. I thought that was pretty good. Okay, so he's not alone. There are others in the city that will help him on his journey. And for 1.5 years, he teaches in the city of Corinth. Some biblical scholars believe that the church in Corinth, when Paul wrote his letter to the church in Corinthians, was only about 100 people. I have a little bit of a hard time believing that, to be honest. But I mean, I'm not going to be able to prove anything. But a 600,000 member community and only 100 Christians, and Paul the apostle was there for 1.5 years. And we know the church grew, but after some time, as Paul was in Ephesus, he wrote the first letter to Corinthians with some instruction and correction. Because some things were going on in the city, in the church specifically, that he wanted to address because they were beginning to go in a direction that he felt they needed to be steered correctly, or else things will get out of order. And that's what he's doing in this letter to the First Corinthians, is that it's a letter where he corrects, he commends them, he loves on them, and he shares with them, listen, these are the things I want you to do. But I want you to see that it hasn't just been 1 year. It's been probably, when the letter's written, it's been at least 4 years, 3-4 years he's out of the city. He hears what's going on. He sends a letter to them. The church has grown. Are you with me? Now, if I had more time, I'd really dive into why it's so important that you know this, but I want to just give you the picture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, he's been teaching them and instructing them. He gets to chapter 12, and immediately he goes after something that's really important for us not to miss. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." This is talking to these members of the church in Corinthians. What's important for you to grasp here, don't miss this morning. Put the scripture up for me again, please, guys. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts in your Bible is italicized. Many times when a word is italicized in your Bible, it has been added by the interpreters for the sake of context. But it's very interesting because in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the word gifts is used. But when Paul wrote the letter and he wrote this, he didn't put the word gifts there. I think there was a reason for it. And I'm going to show you why I believe that this morning. Please understand, guys. You can look in almost any translation of the Bible and the words gift has been added for context. But it was not there originally. So take it away, and what is it saying? It says, now concerning spiritual, being spiritual, spirituality, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Let's follow it up. Let's look at the next verse. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. What is he talking about? You must understand that the Greeks were heavily influenced by idolatry, worshipping the god of Athena, the god of Zeus, the god of Apollos. They were very into idolatry. And he says, I don't want you to be carried away by these dumb idols. In other words, as you begin to go and become spiritual, I don't want you to once again go the same way that you were before, being influenced and led by the supernatural only. So in your zealous and in your zeal and in your hunger for spiritual things, which you must go after, he's saying, I don't want you to be led like you were before. Don't be influenced just easily. Are you with me? He says, however you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I was reading some of the commentaries, and one of the commentaries I read said something very interesting. He said that what Paul was doing here, he was actually addressing someone that had come into the church and was beginning to preach that Jesus was accursed. Because remember, the teachings that Paul would teach is that Jesus became a curse for us. So he came in and said, Jesus is accursed, and the church was being led astray. Why? Because he had power. Not all power is good power. We need power, 100%. But not all power is good power. So he's again leading them and trying to teach them, listen, make sure you pay attention to the fundamentals. Make sure you pay attention to Scripture, to the Word of God. No one can, he says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he lays out three categories here in verse 4, 5, and 6 of different expressions, different gifts, different callings in the church. He says this, he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, for the sake of trying to explain this without it being confusing, I'm going to show you three categories of gifts or activities or services in the church that God empowers believers with. When Paul wrote this, you must understand that he had not yet written Romans or Ephesians. So he was talking about something, and then later on in Romans and Ephesians, he breaks down the gifts even more. So let's take a look. Let's start. I'm going to start in verse 5 because we're going to come back to verse 4 about the gifts of the Spirit as we go on this morning. But in verse 5, he says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. How many of you know that the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we can tie this very beautifully to Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse number 9, where we can see that Jesus, our Lord, gave certain gifts to the church. Ephesians 4, 9. He says, now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he, is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So Christ himself gave gifts to the church. These gifts are pastors, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He gave these five expressions or gifts to the church. We call these Christ's gifts to the body of Christ. Amen. Why did he do that? Why did he give this? He gave this, look at verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the primary purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip the church, the saints, to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ so that the church can be equipped and empowered to do the work of the ministry. So we can minister to one another so that we can bring people in. We can get the community saved. What is that? Fulfilling the heavenly mandate. Let's go out and make disciples. This is only one set of gifts. He goes on. I'm just going to read this because I want you to see as much of it as I can share with you without taking too long this morning. He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So you must understand that God has given certain gifts to the body of Christ to teach the body of Christ, to empower the body of Christ, because there needs to be some leadership, there needs to be some guidance in this area. Because there are many that come and they'll deceive and they'll bring all kinds of doctrine. And he's saying, listen, the fivefold ministry, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, their responsibility is to equip you, to lead you. So when someone comes and says, Jesus is accursed, you're going to say, uh-uh. Are you guys with me? He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Every part in the church needs to do its share. This causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's the first set of gifts. Let's go back to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 6 says this. It says, and there are activities or diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Let's go to Romans 12, verse number 3. I'm showing you different categories of gifts, different categories of activities, of things that will operate within the body of Christ. And I'll get to my point. Just hang in there and stay with me. There we go. Thank you, brother. A double portion of blessing for you. May the favor of God be your portion and expression, for you have encouraged the pastoreth. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse number 3. Now we see first in Ephesians, Christ himself gave some. Christ himself, gifts of Christ. Now, Romans 12. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. How many of you think we should pay attention? Paul doesn't use this type of language often. Don't think you are better than you really are. Maybe we should read that again. He says, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body, talking about us, the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, watch here now, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. This is the gift set that activities and gifts that God has released to the church. This is not an exclusive list. There are more than this. He's giving us examples. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And then He says, always be eager to practice hospitality. This gift set is not, in the eyes of many believers in the church today, very spiritual. Hospitality, mercy, teaching, because teaching is not only being up here, it's teaching in children's church. It's instructing one another. Are you guys with me? He talks about different types of gifts here that may not seem so spiritual, but the truth is they have no less value than any other gift to the body of Christ. Hallelujah, Pastor Alex, good job. Amen. All right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12:4. So we see the first gift set is the gift set which Christ has given to the church. These gifts are to equip the body of Christ for the working of, you know, so that the body can go out and do the work of the ministry. The second gift set is the gifts of God. Now remember, they're all tied together. The gifts of God, which these are activities that the church must fulfill. We see all these different gifts. This particular gift set doesn't seem to be so spiritual, but no less important than the gifts of Christ. Let me say that again. They are no less important than the gifts of Christ, because without this, this will not function. I know what I speaketh about. Now, let's go back. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. This is the first verse that he addresses these, but I came back to this last because we're going to continue in the book of Corinthians afterwards. These are what we call the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So these are gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. Watch what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. Let's go there. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I need you to see this. It's important that you understand that any gift that the Holy Spirit releases in your life, or let me rather say this, because it really does make more sense, manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, it's when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself through you. The first thing you must realize is it's not for your benefit, but for the benefit of all. So like Paul says in Romans, be careful how you evaluate yourself. Don't think because you're able to flow in a specific gift set that now you are the man with the power for the hour. That manifestation is a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom. I'm not going to teach you on these this morning because that's not my purpose. But these gifts of the Spirit are manifestations that are used. These are supernatural gifts. He says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. We can see the gift is given by the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The Holy Spirit's the one who decides. According to your purpose and your plan, and the plan that God has for your life, so the Holy Spirit will deposit and work and manifest through your life in this capacity. These gifts are beautiful. They are wonderful. We absolutely need them in the church. But the same way that we need the gifts of the Spirit to work in the church, we also need the others. They are just as important. Look at what he says. Verse number 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you were baptized into the body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. The body of Christ is not one member, not one gift set, not one type that makes it perfect, makes it what it is. The fact is that the body compiles of many members, many parts, and we need that. And I need you to see that he's not just talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. He's referring to all the gifts. Everything that God has for us, we all need to work together to fulfill the heavenly mandate that God has for the church, which is to do what? To make disciples. Let's go to verse 15. Are you guys okay? All right. He's going to overemphasize this now. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. Watch this now. That there should be no schisms in the body. What does the word schism mean? The word schism means that there should be no division. There should be no tearing apart. Man, let me tell you something, guys. This is where there's been a tearing apart in the body. Because on one side, it's like all just the gifts of the Spirit. And on the other side, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit. No, we need all the gifts. To make the church be what the church needs to be, we need all the gifts. We need every part. Are you guys with me? Look at what he says. He says that there should be no schisms or division or tearing apart in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. In other words, he's saying the word care there actually means to worry about or to be concerned for. So in other words, every part of the body, we should have the same care, the same concern for each and every part. That includes a gift set that is different to yours. He says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Why? Because we're all serving a purpose to fulfill the heavenly vision that God has for us. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations. Various varieties of tongues. So everybody stop and look at me. Remember, I took Ephesians and Romans to show you more. But yeah, he breaks it down. And he shows us that he's not just talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about the activities of God. He's talking about administrations. He's talking about different types of gifts, different types of healings. He brings in the gifts of Christ, teachers and apostles. He brings it in. But it's all necessary. All of it is necessary. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Watch this now. He says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So he's trying to say to us right at the beginning, listen, I want you to be spiritual. He says, but listen, in your desire to be spiritual, make sure you don't focus only on gifting and think that certain gifts are more valuable than other gifts. Because the truth is, to make up the body of Christ, we need all the gifts. Pastor Brian is far more gifted in certain things than I am. I can't do things the way he does. The way he ministers, I can't do it. Neither can you. He's one of a kind, I promise you. But that's what makes him unique. The same way that there are certain people that when someone walks through the door, they can't wait to get to them because they have an ability to greet and to be loving and caring. You don't have that. Sorry. I know you. Does that now mean because he's not prophesying and laying hands and all of that, he's any less important? So let me show you a more excellent way, Paul says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Remember, this is one letter, guys. So there's no 12, 13, 14. There's none of that. It's one letter. So essentially where we just left off is where the letter continues. Watch. Verse 31 of 12 says, but earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I should remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What is he trying to tell us, guys? Jeremy, stand up again. He's the most important thing. When he walks in the door, I don't care how gifted you are, in what area you are, all of our attention should be on how much God loves him. That's why the Bible says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor. So you can be able to prophesy from morning to night, my friend. If you have no love, it's worth nothing. Nothing. And I love to prophesy. I love it. I love spiritual gifts. I love them all. Now watch what he says. He says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. In other words, if you're focusing only on the spiritual gifts, which are so important, or the gifts of the Spirit, and not focus, or the gifts of Christ, and you're not focusing on the other parts that don't look so glamorous, you're going to miss it. Because at the end, it's what comes out of the heart. It's love. That's all that remains. All the things that are done in part, the gifts, all of that stuff, it's gone. And all that stands at the end, Jeremy, stand up one more time. All that will remain in that day is whether he makes it or not. And what did I do to make sure that he got there? What did I do to make sure that he belongs? What did I do to make sure that he connects to the community? What did I do to make sure that he fulfills his destiny? That's what true love is. Are you guys with me? Thanks, Jeremy. That's the last time. Amen. He goes on and he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now in part, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am now. He says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. That's the most important thing. Faith, hope, and love. When someone comes in the door here at Oceans, we have to give them those three things. Something to believe in, faith in God. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's the one who can set the captive free. We have to give him hope for his future, to know that there is a destiny and a purpose, a calling on his life. And more than anything, he needs to fall in love with God. Because he says, but the greatest of these is love. I've been a lead pastor for 9 years now. I've been in ministry since I was 19 years old. I don't even know how long ago that is. It's a long time. And man, I have been in rooms where I see the power of God manifest because of the gifts of the Spirit in the most profound way. Wonderful and amazing. And then I've seen that beautiful person that got touched like that disappear and never come back. And that's because, as wonderful as that is, we need other people to make sure that we're fulfilling the mandate. You don't have to be like me. Please don't be like me. I want you to be unique the way God has called you. And yes, I want you to grow spiritually. I'll prove that to you in just a moment. Because in 14, he doesn't stop there. But I also want you to understand that God has given you a uniqueness and brought you here, even to this church, so that you can be a huge part of what he has for you and for others. That's why, don't just sit in church, but become a part of it. Become a part of it. You don't have to do everything that Pastor Brian does. Please don't. You need to be unique in your calling. I tell you the truth, my friend, church people that I love so much. I tell you the truth. We will stand in that day and you will see people sit closer to the right and the left hand of Jesus that you never ever thought was anybody special in the church. But they had so much love and care for each other, but yet they didn't stand and prophesy. As wonderful as prophecy is, and we need to do it, I get it. I'm not against it. Please hear me. But that's not all that it takes to fulfill destiny. Amen. That's not all that it takes to be a church. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way, a better way. And then he says, I understand all mysteries. I know all spiritual things. I can speak in tongues of men and tongues of angels. I understand all things. But let me tell you something. If I have no love, it profits nothing. And if you think that that's the most important thing, no. On the other side, it's, listen, we give away money. We serve the poor. We do all of this stuff. We even give our lives. Listen, if you don't really have love, it profits you nothing. And the reality is we need all of it to be the body of Christ. Every gift, every part. When someone walks into the church door, guys, they are the most important person. Every single one of you is the most important person in the building. How can I say that? Because he gave his son to die for you. Let us make sure that we love one another the way that he loves us. And never ever think that because you don't do something spiritually the way somebody else is or does, that you have any less value or are any less important. Amen. Amen. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1. I'm going to end off kind of the way I started. Watch this now. There's no confusion here. Paul writes perfectly. Take a look at what he says. He says, pursue love. The word pursue there actually means to hunt, to go after something, to chase after something. And he starts by saying that the most important thing, go after, chase it, hunt after it, is love. Then he says this, he says, but desire spiritual gifts. Take the word gifts out. It was not there in the original language. Desire to be spiritual. So he says all of what he does in 13 and comes back and says, listen, go after love more than anything, but I still want you to be spiritual. And now he comes into the gifts. He says, but especially that you may prophesy. Paul was so clever, guys. He was so clever. Why? Why is prophecy important? Because what he's trying to do is he's trying to cause you. The word there for desire is zelou in the Greek, which basically means to be zealous for. He wants you to be zealous, to be spiritual with God, to walk with God. Why? Because if you have to prophesy, you must first be able to hear from God. Amen. So it all comes back to the same thing. The most important thing that Paul's trying to get to is, listen, I want you to have a relationship with God. Why? Because you should love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So as he's talking to you, loving on you, you'll see somebody else and he'll begin to speak to you concerning that person. Prophecy is not always, thus saith the Lord, you will be a thing the greatest futureth. It's edification, exhortation, comfort, guys. I want you to know that when I'm looking at you, I really want you to know that God really loves you. But I'm not saying it because I wasn't even thinking about this person. I get to the cash out register and all of a sudden I hear these words in my mind. Listen, think about it. Just think about it. I know you. You're thinking about golf and fishing and what you're going to watch on TV. You get to the register and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, tell them I love them. And you go, oh, that's ridiculous. Think about it. Oh, I know it's happened to half of you. I know it has. Well, what if they say that? What if they reject me? Who cares? Amen. You don't have to be so spiritual to tell somebody what the Holy Spirit tells you. Amen. The bottom line is that every single one of us is called. Every single one of us has destiny. Every single one of us has purpose. And we are all different. And that's what makes it beautiful. And it gives us the ability to reach the unreached, the lost, the hurting, and the broken. Guys, Vero Beach is full of people that need Jesus. Yes. Listen to me. Some of them even live in your house. Stop trying to be so spiritual that you miss them. That you miss it. Be wonderful, not weird and wonderful. Amen. I'm so grateful for each and every person that's in this church with your unique gift set. And I'll do my very best as your pastor to do my absolute utmost best to see what God has called you to do, to be a part of helping you grow in that space. And yes, I'll help you to become more spiritual too. But ultimately, the most important thing to him is you. And at the end of it all that really matters is love. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning in this place, Lord, you have brought us together, different people, different cultures, different backgrounds, different pasts, with different purpose. But there's one mandate, to go into the world and to make disciples. Lord, you've equipped us with everything we need. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of Christ. We have all the different activities in the church, helps, administrations, everything necessary, Father. You have brought people to fulfill that. And I pray, God, that we will never elevate anything above anything else. Because does it not all come from you? Are we not just the instrument that you use? Because ultimately, is love not the only thing that does not fail? That in that day, prophecies will cease, tongues will cease, the gifts will fall away, and all that remains is true love. So, Father, I pray even this morning for anyone in this building that has ever felt as though maybe they weren't quite measuring up. Father, that you this morning will highlight how important they are to you in their unique gifting, in their unique calling. Lord, let the eye and the foot get along. Let the hand and the head get along. We all need each other, Lord. That's what makes us the body of Christ. Father, you have put it all together perfectly. Help us not to think of things just the way we desire, but to rather look at and say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to us? And so we thank you and we love you this morning in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, my life is not right with God. This morning, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to become part of this family of God with the calling and the purpose that he has for me. I want to give my heart to him. I'm not walking with him. If that's you and you say, Pastor, pray for me this morning. I want to give my life to him. Raise your hand up so I can pray for you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. Include me this morning in this prayer. Just raise your hand up so I can include you. Thank you so much, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's for me this morning. I want to be prayed for as well. I want to give my life to Jesus. Quickly slip your hand up and I include you. I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I used to walk with God, but I've strayed away from him. And this morning, I want to come back. I've lost my passion. Maybe it was something that happened to you. You got hurt and you kind of lost your zeal and your passion and you haven't been walking with God. But today you say, I want to make sure my name is written in the book of life. I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart. I want to come back to him this morning. If that's you, raise your hand up so I can include you. God bless you, young lady. God bless you over there. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me this morning. Include me in this prayer. Give me Jesus. I'm tired of the world. Raise your hand up so I can include you. I see your hand in the back. I see your hand over there. God bless you. Thank you guys so much. If you raised your hand, quickly stand for me. Don't be afraid. I want to see you. I want to pray for you. Quickly stand up. Come on, church. Let's give them a big God bless you. God bless you. As you stand, quickly come to the front. Don't be afraid. Come. 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 God bless you guys. So many people raised their hands. Come, you in the back. Come, guys. Come. Come, guys, in the back there. Come. Come to me, please. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much. You guys are so welcome here. Thank you so much. Come, guys, come. There's more coming. Let them get to the front. Let them come. God bless you. Come and stand right here, young lady. Thank you so much. God bless you, guys. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you guys. This is the most important decision that you've ever made. Just stand right over here. If there's anybody else and you want to come forward now, please. I want to include you in this prayer this morning. This is the most important decision you'll ever make. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you and then I'm going to pray for you. And I just want to encourage you. Listen, being a Christian is the most amazing journey you will ever go on. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't mean your life is just going to become easy and everything's just going to be wonderful and roses. It's not like that. But now you have God that walks with you, that leads you and guides you. Now you know that you have life and life eternal, that you will walk with him. He sent his Spirit so that you could have a friend. The Holy Spirit's here to help you, to lead you, to guide you. He's my best friend. You'll learn all about it. It's great. Amen. But this morning, make a decision to follow him with your whole heart. I can see you doing that. Amen? Amen? So let's pray together, guys. But pray this morning from your heart. Say, Lord, I come to you this morning. Today, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I believe Jesus died and rose again. He's the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. This morning in this place, I run to you, Lord. And my life is yours. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray, Father, just never the same, Lord. Never the same, Father. This young lady, never the same, Father. Never the same. Let her know you and serve you all the days of her life. This precious young lady, Father. This is a new beginning for you. This is a new day for you. And for you too, God bless you. God bless you. New beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. A new day for you, young man. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap. Amen. You guys, if you look to your left over there, it's Pastor Brian. I'm going to ask you to go with him. There's somebody behind you who wants to pray with you and meet you. That's what I was talking about. Different gifts, different parts. Just follow him. God bless you guys. Let's give them a big round of applause. Amen. God bless you. Guys, thank you so much for coming this morning. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, that he gives you peace. Have a wonderful and prosperous week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.